Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ramona Singer from The Real Housewives of New York City, and we're listening to Mr. Media.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to one of my favorite new novelists, Richard Deutsch, author of The 13th Hour and the just-released Thieves of Darkness. Stick around. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. And the show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. And what's the name of the show again? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of incredibly frustrated fiction writers in the new media capital of the world and home of the best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, can it be only 6 months ago that Richard Deutsch was a guest on Mr. Media? I remember it well because I was so breathless in my praise and admiration for his then-new novel, The 13th Hour. That story completely blew my mind. I still don't know how Hollywood is going to squeeze so much storytelling goodness into less than 3 hours, but I can't wait to see them try. And now Deutsch is back with another new book, Thieves of Darkness, which is the third installment in the adventures of world-class thief, stories of world-class thief and all-round gentleman Michael St. Pierre. And I'm as gaga over this one as I was his last. I literally finished reading it just this afternoon, and my excitement is truly palpable. And I want to share it with you, so here's a taste of Thieves of Darkness from the audiobook edition.
Rippling his cheeks. His body was prone, his arms and legs extended to control his fall. It had been 5 seconds since he had left the safety of the plane, and Michael was already at the terminal free-fall velocity of 120 miles per hour. Michael glanced at the altimeter on his wrist, watching the numbers fall toward his deployment height of 4,000 feet. Though comfortable with skydiving, he was never foolish. He didn't want to deal with that fatal free-fall injury, SDT, sudden deceleration trauma, what some people called hitting the ground. Michael pulled the ripcord. His chute fluttered out of his parapack and jerked him to a halt. The parafoil spread above him, capturing the air and guiding it across its airfoils, allowing Michael to control his descent and direction as if he were flying. Every time he released his chute, he said a little prayer and made sure he could easily reach the hook knife that dangled at his side. Though he packed his chute himself, he dreaded becoming entangled, having to cut away his main chute in time to deploy his reserve. He knew it was rarely the novice who was killed skydiving. More often than not, it was the overconfident expert. He gripped the guidance handles of his parafoil and directed himself toward the far edge of the outcropping. The prison sat upon a ledge that was more akin to a Wyoming mesa than an Ibiquistan mountain. The lights of Chiron Prison were the sole sign of civilization for 50 miles. It was an imposing structure, seeming to grow out of the earth, out of hell itself. There was no barbed wire, razor wire, or fences. Its location and height served that purpose far more effectively. At 3,000 feet, surrounded by desert, the prisoners would be imposing their own death if they attempted escape. The half-moon on the cloudless night painted the world blue, softening the soft rock outcroppings, dyeing the desert so it appeared as comforting as the sea.
A lot of people write books, but not a lot of them write in such a way that when you get to the end, you don't want the roller coaster ride to end. Michael Chabon's best stories are like that. So are Richard Deutsch's. Richard Deutsch, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. I hate babbling like a fanboy, but what can I say? I mean, I really enjoy your work. I can't hide it.
Oh, You know what? I can't thank you enough.
Well, I read The 13th Hour earlier this year, and this is the first of the Three Thieves books that I've read, and now I have to go back, because I have all this free time, I have to go back and get the first two. I feel so behind the eight ball suddenly.
You know, it's so funny. It's they're so different, both of these books, The 13th Hour and The Thieves of Darkness. It's like switching gears, but the great thing I have found is that the people who have just discovered me through The 13th Hour are enjoying The Thieves of Darkness all the same, but for all different reasons. So, you know, I'm a very lucky person.
Well, there's that great tone and storytelling that comes to each of them. There are certain similarities between the lead male character. I mean, you've got guys that are, you know, have very strong character, pretty strong ethical system, despite, of course, Michael St. Pierre is a thief. I mean, was a thief, is a thief. Once a thief, always a thief, Richard?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
interesting. I always base the characters, you know, the lead characters a lot of myself, only because it's my voice, and it's mm-hmm. much easier to get inside my head than to get inside someone else's head. So, you know, some people have said Nick Quinn from The 13th Hour, Michael St. Pierre. There are certain parallels, but one's a little bit straighter shooter than the other. But they both go through hell, you know, in their own kind of way.
Now, where did this is the third book with Michael St. Pierre. Where did the original idea for him and the line of thought that he is a thief, where did that come from? Is it something in your own past?
You know, well, we won't comment on part of that past, but everyone talks about that they want to write a novel. Everyone mm-hmm. says, you know, someday I'm going to write a book. And I was riding the train into the city one day, and I hate people who talk about what they're going to do. And I thought, there's so many stories that I'd love to see that I'd never found in a bookstore. And everyone writes about a detective or a policeman or a Navy SEAL. And I sat down and started to write. And I did it every day on the train. And I wanted an anti-hero, you know, a very Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid type of person. And I came up with Michael St. Pierre, and he's always dealing with moral compromise, as we all do. And, you know, how far will you go, you know, for your own heart to break a law of God, a law of man, you know, a law of friendship? And so I thought, what a great way to have a thief who's always, you know, looking at that, having to go that extra mile. Basically, it's the cross that he's had to bear because of his past. So... He's great fun to write, and it's much better to write somebody who's got some, you know, questionable background as opposed to somebody who's so straight and narrow.
Now, I asked you if maybe that there was a little thievery in your background, and I'm reminded, because we spoke earlier, that, of course, you were in real estate. That's like having a license to steal, isn't it?
That some people say that, and, you know, a lot of people in the industry really gave it a bad name. But, you know, the interesting thing is with Michael St. Pierre, when I was a kid, I wasn't a criminal, and I wasn't a thief, but there are experiences that I had, you know, whether it was, you know, scaling buildings or, you know, helping somebody procure some information that I did, and you get this little bit of adrenaline rush, and it gives you some insight into why some people do what they do, and a lot of that helped me to infuse Michael's character, and a lot of what he does, the opening scene, in that you just heard Bob Walter speak, and he's got the most fantastic voice. I love his rhythm, his cadence, you know, and the way he reads. It's like God reading my work, which is such an honor. But that opening scene where Michael St. Pierre is jumping out of a plane, that's from my life, you know, and there's so much that I do that I try to draw into the books. And, you know, whether it be, you know, doing some stupid things like skydiving or bungee jumping, or reflecting the love that I have for my wife, because I always kind of make her the lead female character, and I always put her in danger. Sometimes I've killed her, but I find a way to bring her back. And
that would be the 13th hour for people who don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, that would be. In the 13th hour, the story runs backwards for those that haven't had a chance to read it. And Nick is trying to save his wife, but all my stories, the main character is really trying to save somebody he loves. In The Thieves of Heaven, Michael's trying to save his wife. And In the second one, he's trying to save his father, and in this one, he's trying to save a woman by the name of Casey and a good friend of his named Simon Bellatori. Because I think that when you're reading, you draw a much better connection with a personal quest. So many people are trying to save the world, and you know, we don't invest ourselves. And I think when you create a character that people can identify with, that people can truly love, it pulls them into the story all the more, and it makes the excitement all that more tangible. And you know, it's just the way that I write. And you know, I came to this late in life, as you know, we had discussed earlier in back in January, and I found this passion, and I write prolifically. I've got 2 books out this year, and I've got a couple screenplays, but I have found a love, and I get to indulge myself every day, and you know, I consider myself one of the luckiest people around.
Now, I was just thinking about what you were saying about your wife, and people who become fans of your book, they know kind of intuitively that the woman who's the lead character opposite Michael or Nick in either of the books has to be someone close to you because of the way you write about the man's devotion to her, his love for her. But I have to ask you, the more you put your wife in danger or kill her in these stories, is your real wife getting a little alarmed about that? Does she have any concern there?
You know, she sleeps with one eye open, and you know, it's a little disturbing. But you know, at the end of the day, I always save her, and it's all in good humor, but if you read my books, there's not disturbing things, but people who know me are like, Richard, what's going on inside your head? And I know that you love your wife and all, but you know, you put her through hell on such a regular basis. You know,
yeah.
Is she going to revenge you? So who knows, but one eye open every night.
Well, and let me ask you another question about the reality or close to reality, some of this. You mentioned that, you know, Michael St. Pierre jumping out of the plane at the opening of Thieves of Darkness, that's you. How much adventure is a guy who's become a best-selling author going to allow himself these days compared to before? Do you still take many chances? Are you still that extreme? Or do you have a lot more do you and your family have a lot more riding on you now, and you have to be a little more thoughtful about that?
Well, you know, I actually make sure before I jump that my life insurance is, you know, fully paid up. Yeah, I've always done some things that some people will think are absolutely crazy. But, you know, the interesting thing, skydiving is when you understand it and you learn it, it can be relatively safe if it's done properly. You know, when you hear somebody dying, it's usually an expert. And they're usually on, like, their 6,000th jump, and they're making a turn too close to the ground, and they slam in. Is it risky? Yes. But you know what? I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I do have a bit of an addiction to adrenaline. And I draw on that. When I'm doing, you know, some scene where Michael's trying to get away, or, you know, some edge-of-your-seat fight, I can draw on these experiences. And I don't necessarily have to pull them directly, but I can pull that emotional aspect and put it into my work. So I don't think I'm going to stop doing it anytime soon, but I'm not foolish. I'm not going to jump with a pack that I've never checked. So,
got it. Well, I have a lot more questions for Richard, but we're going to take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with novelist Richard Deutsch, author of The 13th Hour and his latest book, Thieves of Darkness. And we'll be right back.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
Coming up next is a really funny guy. You all know him. Let's give it up for Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo!
So my uncle calls and he says he's dizzy and he's losing his balance. So I'm like, Unc, you want me to take you to a doctor? He's like, no, I'm going to look up the symptoms. I said, your symptoms are you're dizzy and you're losing your balance. So he said, I can't get on the internet because my arm is numb. I said, well, use your good arm and dial 911. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of stroke, don't call family, don't dial a friend, don't wait because it might be too late. Dial 911. Time lost is brain lost. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long nine!
Prepare to be boarded.
Arr!
Flagship, starboard bow!
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy sail me bonnie seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though, learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to Mr. Media Radio Interview with novelist Richard Deutsch, the author of some of my favorite books this year, The 13th Hour and Thieves of Darkness. And before I bring Richard back on, check out this Bantam commercial for the first book in the Michael St. Pierre series, Thieves of Heaven.
For 2,000 years, the Vatican has protected the keys Jesus gave St. Peter, the keys to heaven. Now one desperate thief will steal them. Read The Thieves of Heaven by Richard Deutsch, a spectacular thriller.
Yeah, what he said. Hey, Richard, I think the real question on my mind is this. How much travel and research did you do for a book like Thieves of Darkness? I mean, I can imagine that you developed such detail about Istanbul. I can't imagine that you developed that kind of detail about a place like Istanbul without being there.
You know, in all honesty, I've never was there.
No.
I do extensive research.
You're killing me. Really?
What's amazing is I haven't been to any of the places I've written about, but I make sure that I know the place like the back of my hand. Just like when Michael St. Pierre goes into a museum or wherever to steal, and he's never been in there, he knows it like the back of his hand before he goes in. Well, that's the same way I write my book. I make sure I know every street. I make sure that I know the detail of every single building, and I have books and everything else on it. When I wrote The Thieves of Darkness, the one thing I did do was I did contact the Turkish embassy, who was extremely helpful and put me in touch with a slew of different experts. And so I could really put out very pointed questions and, you know, get the information I needed. But
wow.
Have never been anywhere. I go in my mind. I've traveled extensively in my mind.
I'm very surprised. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't think it's giving away anything to say that a chunk of the book at the beginning takes place in the Four Seasons Hotel in Istanbul, and you all know this, but I spent some time a year or two ago with Isidore Sharp, who's the founder and chairman of Four Seasons Hotels and Resorts, working with him on his memoir, and I thought, wow, he's going to get such a kick out of knowing that you were at his hotel, and there's so much of the book takes place there, and I can't believe that you had not been there. That's incredible.
You know what's amazing, and that was a prison. The Four Seasons in Istanbul was a prison, and I thought that's really how I happened on it and put it into the book. Because I thought, how great to put, you know, Michael St. Pierre, this thief, into a hotel that was formerly a prison. I had to give him the little heebie-jeebies, but it's an amazing, amazing hotel. And they were very helpful. They gave me a lot of information. So
that's great.
If you talk to them, tell them it's a great hotel, even though I haven't been there.
I will. We'll have to figure out a way to get him a copy of the book. I think he'd enjoy it. Are you, as much as you're writing these days, are you into or on your way to a fourth Michael St. Pierre book?
I am. I'm actually just about completed a book. I haven't titled it yet. Tentatively, it's The Thieves of Legend, only because that was, the first thing I wrote down when I wrote it. But it takes place a lot in the Orient, in China and Macau, and there's just some fascinating things, between the Forbidden City and Beijing, and things going on in Hong Kong, and the Venetian Casino in Macau is just absolutely spectacular. And a lot of people don't realize that Macau is now much larger gambling-wise than Vegas. And, it's a fascinating place that so many worlds have come together in.
I, too, have written about Macau and the gambling there and have not been there, so I hear you. Hey, I've got a title for you, though. Instead of, Thieves of Legend is great, but how about Thieves of Your Economic Health? How would that be?
That's even better. I'll go with that if, people will latch onto it.
All right. But I want an autographed copy of that one. We've just got a couple minutes left, and I want to ask you about how things are coming on movie adaptation for 13th Hour, and bring us up to date on what else is being adapted.
Sure. The 13th Hour, the screenplay is completed. They're just doing a little bit of polish on it. They expect everything to... they'll sign a director probably in about 2 weeks, and right behind that we've got a fabulous actor, a $20 million actor, actually, that hopefully will get announced very shortly. And
that narrows it down. Let's think, folks. Think.
There are only about 6 to 10 people that fit that mold. So, yeah. It's very easy to narrow down. But they should be going into production. They're looking at a January, February production. And, very exciting thing, I can't say who the studio is, but we've nearly completed a deal on The Thieves of Darkness to make that into a film. And the exciting thing is, I'm actually going to be far more involved in the screenplay and actually co-writing that. And we should be announcing, who that's with and what studio come just after Labor Day. But I couldn't be happier, that I'm getting multiple characters up. The Thieves of Heaven is actually, moving along. It's had a little, typical Hollywood bumps with some of the actors. But I've got three things that are moving. And a book that I have coming out in February of 2011 called Half Past Dawn, people should be seeing that on the screen also. So I've been very lucky to walk in two worlds, both, cinematically and literature-wise. So I've been very blessed with this second career.
I have to be honest, I haven't heard a word you said since I was trying to think of a $20 million actor. let's see. I'm thinking maybe Matt Damon. I'm thinking, could the character go black? Could it be Will Smith? Let me think. Who else would get 20 million? We've hit that period where some actors who used to get 20 million, like Tom Cruise, are getting peanuts now, if anybody even wants them. And it would have to be someone of a certain age. I'm thinking mid to late 30s, maybe early 40s.
Yeah, no, you're in there. You're in there. It's put it as my kids are really excited. My oldest is 22, my daughter's 19, and my youngest is 10. But they're very excited. So it's I would love to say who it is, but by penalty of death, and I don't think I can resurrect myself the way I resurrected people in the 13th Hour. I really can't say it.
Okay. Well, Rudy in the studio wrote, and Rudy, I don't think this could be right at all. You have Ben Affleck. I don't think he's getting $20 million a picture.
No, Ben's in the $5 million range, but he's got a movie called...
Leonardo DiCaprio might be getting that kind of money, though.
Leonardo DiCaprio gets that kind of money. Johnny Depp gets that kind of money. Matt Damon gets that kind of money. Russell Crowe gets that kind of money. There's only a handful of people that can open a movie. And it's not like it used to be.
I don't think this is a Depp role. I could see Matt Damon in this role. I could see, after seeing Inception, I think I could see DiCaprio in this role. But, before we completely run out of time, there's one other thing I really want to ask you about. switching gears slightly, quite a bit, have your book sales been affected much by the digital thing? I mean, the iPad and the Kindle. Are you seeing much change this year in the way your sales are going?
I've actually seen an increase in sales. My Kindle sales are terrific. And interestingly enough, I wrote a book called Embassy. And a book is kind of an amalgam of a book with some video vignettes in it. And it came out last October for the iPhone and everything else. Well, when the iPad came out, sales of that exploded. And I have found that, as the years have gone on, the percentage, is climbing from, say, 10 to 15, maybe even a little higher percent of electronic sales to hardcover sales or, paper sales.
Right. And do you use a Kindle or an iPad?
I do not. My daughter has both, and she swears by it. But I don't have that much time to read because I think that if I've had the time to read a book, I should be writing a book. And so I haven't cracked too many open lately.
Well, I'm getting the signal from the studio that I need to wrap up. But folks, listen, you can find novelist Richard Deutsch's latest book in the Michael St. Pierre Adventure Series. It's Thieves of Darkness, as well as one of my now all-time favorites, 13th Hour. It will blow your mind in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it online right now at MrMedia.com. And for even more of Richard, check out his website. It's Richard Deutsch, DOETSCH.com. Richard, it goes too fast. Thank you so much for joining us again on Mr. Media.
Hey, Bob, I am so lucky to be able to talk to you twice in 1 year. Thank you for taking the time, and particularly thank you for reading my novels. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You be well. And folks, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Check me out on Twitter and on Facebook, and thanks for listening. See you next week.